Thank you all for coming and participating in this Sangha, this spiritual community where we study the Buddha's Dharma. Thank you for your generosity in helping us by participating and also helping to support us financially. We don't produce product. We don't sell anything. Well, don't waste your time. Lots of ways to waste your time. And to some extent, there isn't any best subsidy. But since we're keeping track of things, with those rotating things or the things that go 236, 237, to what it is called. Something about finger clocks.
Speedometer.
Finger clocks. Speedometers. Yeah, or odometer. Starts with an O. Must be an important word. So the idea here is to say, don't waste your time. And how that's going to show up for each person is so different. So it might be don't waste your time working at a job you hate, or working at a job that you think you can't get out of. And that job might be a relationship. Don't waste your time. Look closely at this. Sitting meditation, whether you consider yourself a Buddhist or not, sitting meditation will help you over time get closer to the very area where you probably are wasting your time. And what do I mean by that? I'm saying spending time as this lifetime goes by, but you don't know if you can do this again, if you'd even want to, that you are putting your time in areas, that illusion of time, in areas that are not fundamentally helping. They might be relative. You might be making a lot of money. Good. Go ahead. Do that until you go back into the elements. Sickness, aging, death. Some of us got sick way too early when we were very young. I know several students of mine are having that difficulty. They aren't even half my age and they're sick. Don't waste your time, my night or day. So find a way to look at how you're, perhaps that might work, the idea of a description that I'm wasting my time. You might think that you're wasting your time meditating. Look really closely, because that's the very language of ego. This isn't working. That's because there's a standard that is being set up. We've already talked about don't set up standards, but that doesn't mean don't look at forms. Just don't bite into the standard and give you... And then suddenly, this feels so much better. Now I know what to do next. You never know what to do next. There is no next. That's an invention. It's always this. It's always this. As it is, just this. Nothing progresses into anything else, nor did it come from somewhere. Understand that yourself. Don't believe me, but understand it. Look at your own mind when you're sitting in front of your closet door or your altar or wherever, or out, looking out the window. The stillness is important. Sit down, hold still, and watch the way you waste time. Don't waste your time by night or day. How many couplets were there?
There were two, yeah.
I mean, in the whole Sangha?
Is it? I can't remember. 22, 44, something like
anybody
that.
Anybody good? Any names in the room? Well, quite a few. And all taking the idea of the teachings in different directions, endeavoring to help you by when you contemplate those to see more clearly what's happening. Wasting your time is to add on to anything that arises. Don't add. Wait till you, it's choiceful. You have to say something. Wait until you have to start to analyze something that's happening in your mind. Don't analyze just to cover it up. Don't fixate. Don't. But that don't may end up being seeing how you can't help but do that. Can't help but shut that. It's like your ego is saying, yeah, we'll check it out later, but not right now. We're not going to look at that right now. We're just going to think about ice cream. Or we're going to think about going to entertainment of some kind. Music, dance, whatever it may be. Is that okay? Of course it's okay. The whole world is doing that. But you, as a practitioner, as someone who is endeavoring to see the truth yourself, I presume, spend some time. Don't waste your time, but take some of that so-called time and just hold still and just watch what will not hold still. It's a good contrast. Sit symmetrical. And that's, if you do that, then the mind, the thinking process, the emotional dynamic, and all of the things that are described in the Yogacara tradition as the eight consciousnesses, those will show up in consciousness in precisely the way they need to, relative to the way you are avoiding your life, shutting down on your life, and trying to live this way and not that way. Don't miss your life. If it shows up in your mind, I'm going to say it as literally and as bluntly as I can. You have it coming, not you, the person, but you, the consciousness that is showing up in this form with these digits, with these feet, with this complexion, with this tone of voice, with this sexual orientation. That whatever that is, receive it. Don't act out of it onto something else. Receive it. It's better than you thought, and it's worse than you thought. You might need to go through the worst part first. Be genuine. So, one more soul before I start to say something else. Souls. Don't waste your time. You could be wasting your time, the way I'm characterizing it, you could be wasting your time by just constantly chattering back at yourself. Here's the first story that comes up, and then you have another one about that. Then another story shows up, and then you have another one about that. Adding, here's your true spiritual nature is arising out of the muck with leaves and sludge and probably bloodsuckers all over that. But just observe that, please. Be genuine. It may take some time for that to come apart, because just by observing what is happening, it loses its foothold in relative truth and starts to come apart. But it takes time. And when I'm saying time, of course it's an illusion, but it still takes it. Because if you're believing it, then that illusion seems very solid and very real. You know what it's like to be incredibly angry at someone? You know what it's like to be incredibly angry with someone and there's no anger? Or incredibly angry with someone and there's no one who's angry? Well, they're not separate. Amazing. Don't miss your life. Don't miss your anger by covering it up with some other kind of crap. Like, she hadn't been for her, if it hadn't been for him, well, if this had only happened, well, my parents hadn't treated me this way, give me a break. Isn't that what people usually say when they're frustrated and they feel like they're correct about something? Give me a break. Well, I don't need your breaks. I don't need anything, actually, not at all. But since I'm here, and since I am looking at something that you might be interested in, and if you're in this room, you probably are interested in it, but you're not exactly sure what it is, and you keep misunderstanding what this is or what you think it is, and this is what you need to look at, the way something shows up, and you add something to it. It shows up, and you've been doing this for weeks, months, years, lifetimes. Something shows up, cover it up. Cover it up with this. Here it is. Cover it up. So look at it. This is called introspection. We call it meditation. We call it a lot of things. But 15 people all sit down in a row and practice what they've been instructed to do, shikantaza, and it's going to be a different dynamic with every single one of them, because everyone's causes and conditions. You might have similar experiences, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the causes and conditions that go below the radar of consciousness as we, when we call it awareness. Awareness is aware of this, aware of sound, the kind of, that area of consciousness is not necessarily, you can't find that. And why? Because you are that. Very, very interesting area, very subtle. It's kind of an understatement to even say that. So don't waste your time. So it's about awareness. This does not mean that you're not meditating and meditating day after day. And after 3 or 4 days of sitting an hour or 2 hours a day or something, you feel like you just can't sit that next day. That is not something to correct. Be aware of that. There's a lot of understanding in that area where you can't do that. Because that is a message, if I may say it this way, that is a message that you're getting too close to the fire. You're getting too close to the fire of reality, of understanding, which is not separate from anything. It is passion, aggression, and ignorance, but there's no one there. There's no self who is going through that. This is what it is important to see. There's no solid self in this kanda, thought, form, feeling, perception, concept, consciousness. And the area of the fourth consciousness, that's the area where we chatter to ourselves. We're actually doing it on all of them, but it's easier to talk about it that way. So concepts, ideas, stories, tell stories. There's nothing wrong with telling stories, but when the story is about covering something up that you need to see, you can live your whole life with that under a bushel basket. You don't need to do that. So the other thing that I say is don't miss your life. Similar situation, don't cover things up, but yet you can't really see your very nature of a cover-up is not to be able to see it. That's why it takes so much sitting meditation. Sit down, hold still. Hold everything still that you can and watch the continued movement. Probably will come to your personal form of the cover-up. And it could be any number of things. It could be relationship dynamics, things to do with the Dharma, things to do with other meditators, with other community members, with your family, with society, with all of the other otherness that is out there, that you are headed towards understanding that everything is empty of that. It's empty of the other. Every time you look out here, as you see a projection, it won't go away because it's an illusion. It doesn't have to go away. You just have to see that it's unreal. And also that which is projecting is unreal. That which is perceiving, that which is receiving, that which is producing, that empty of that. If you see it, you'll have no proof. But if you see it and there's still some area of consciousness that has doubts about it, very difficult to have things be relatively existent and non-existent. I could not do this if I weren't just as confused as you are. If I were up here, the non-confused person. Busy. Don't you dare put that on TikTok. Or if you want to, go ahead.
I'm probably going to.
Put that on too, what you just said. Yeah. But put this on.
I don't want to scare anybody.
That's scary.
Okay. No.
Are there any questions? Except, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Shadow bowing. You say there's nothing to correct.
Yes.
But is there relatively some reconditioning we need to do in the practice to see that?
Of course. There's going to be some of that happening. But the attitude is there's nothing to correct. It allows you to practice a conventional word for that as patience. It allows you to see it more clearly before you start reaching in with your spade, start digging a hole in something. It gives you some time so you can actually witness or be with, or receive the negativity that's arising in your mind that you are the ego mind, the self-centered aspect of the consciousness wants to cover up with a story, an idea, a conclusion. A protocol for getting rid of it, for taking it apart. And there's all kinds of offerings out there. Just watch YouTube for 15 minutes. Punch in anything like that, and it will tell you all kinds of things about how you can work with your life in a different way. They're not incorrect. It might even be a spiritual path there. Possible. But it's about, you may go in and make some adjustments, but not out of correcting. It's not so much correcting something, it's seeing it. what's common images used in this direction is a big picture. You see a larger picture that isn't just the crisp cut and dry. That's wrong. I need to stop it. More?
Sure. So is there's nothing to correct different than just keep doing what we're doing?
I thought it correct us.
Is saying, or your teaching of there's nothing to correct, is that different? Like if we were to take that as just keep doing what I'm doing, keep hooking at my vocal cord.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying just keep doing what you're doing. More?
Not yet.
No, really, keep going.
Shadow bowing. It's not a question, but it just seems like the ego can just take that teaching and just not look at what we need to look at. Oh, there's nothing to correct. So
I didn't say that.
Okay.
There's nothing to correct. What's happening when I do that, when we talk about back and forth and we oppose something that we just agreed with? What is happening there? Can you characterize that a little bit? Any one of you, not just you, but you can go ahead, you're on stage. Can anyone say something about that? Go ahead, sir.
No, Kabai, it looks like you're including something that we can't say.
Wrong.
Kelsey Bowen, maybe Shoto's trying to push for an answer and you're saying not to push.
Exactly. Tokugawa, do you have an idea? That's good. Thanks. You know, a very tiny no. But it works. Michael Pickowitz. Say it.
Like, you mentioned patience earlier. Maybe you're encouraging Shota to be more patient.
That's it. Does that fit? No, it's wrong. Where am I going? I can tell you in a couple of words where I'm going with it. It is so extremely subjective that if you go into the concluding part where you can just stop looking at it and feel like you've, well, now I'm looking at some kind of a little tiny credential of it. At least I'm working with it. At least I'm, then we, it's the beginning of the cover up. It just might be a teaspoonful of cover up, but it doesn't last, doesn't happen, doesn't, it isn't long before you're continually covering that whole area up, not seeing it. Further questions? Harder ones, so. Harder questions. Go ahead.
You know, I don't know if it's a hard question. You were talking about somebody who meditated day after day after day, and then one day you said, I just can't do it anymore. And you said, that's okay, but you're getting close to the fire.
Yes.
So if you're getting close to the fire, would you try to overcome that by...
Well, I'm not saying that you wouldn't endeavoring to come back. We had a schedule that you set every morning from 7 till 9 or 7 to whatever, that you wouldn't try to use that schedule to continue to get back to the cushion, get back to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, or to whatever form you're using to support your awareness practice. The idea is not to go to war with it particularly. Excuse me, or not to conclude something about it so you can back up further, or to conclude something about it so you can push right into it.
More. So if I think, oh, I must be getting close to the fire, then I may want to go sit in the fire somewhere.
You already are sitting in the fire. This is the fire. Talking about two different fires.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Brian.
Brian Bowen. Is meeting other people where they're at ultimately meeting ourselves where we're at?
Somewhat. Meeting someone where they're at is simply put, the way I say it, is just listen to people and don't necessarily add on any commentary about their anything about their mental state or their correctness or their incorrectness, and make no comment, no elaboration, no analysis of anyone. And so, yes, there's some kind of a mirror quality happening there, but it seems to be different with everyone. So some people are able to, not able because they have an ability, it's just that the dynamic you have with that person, you keep seeing yourself in them, maybe just in aspects of their personality, maybe even more profound than that. Maybe something that's impossible to put into words. More? If you see who you are, I don't want to miss this opportunity. Go ahead.
You're welcome, Doug. Does intention determine what is or isn't wasteful?
Again, please.
Does intention determine what is or isn't wasteful?
Has something to do with it. If the intention is to see the truth, and that's going to shift this way and that way, or the intention to, if you received a vow, which you have, to be with all things, it's the intention to do that, not the success story about it. So for you or for Michelle or Gabe or anyone else, that's going to show up in different ways. That's why the Sangha is so important. That's why the teacher is important. That's why all the various teachings like the Sandokai are important for us to go and study these teachings and then see how that there's some personal aspect of that for us that may be pointing out the way we are working with our intention relative to any given blockages or any hidden barriers, like what's happening in our job or our relationships or with our children or with our parents or with society, with Sangha or with the teacher. So yes, the intent, that's why the intention is so powerful, because it doesn't look for results. So therefore you can't use the lack of a result to chastise yourself or say, oh, I need to sit more. I need to, don't spend any time doing that at all. If you don't sit, no comment. Just return to the intention. Intention, and in our tradition, that's to be with all things. Anything that arises, don't agree, don't object, and don't look away. But what is your word for that? You used the word
everything's appropriate.
Everything's appropriate. Everything's appropriate. It's not that it's okay. It's not that it's not painful. And it's not that it's not incredibly hilarious or enjoyable or exuberant. Could be any of those things, maybe all at the same time, if you're lucky. There's nothing to correct. It's hard because we look around and go, obviously, there's a whole lot of things that we want to correct, but that is buying into the relative structure of it to think that something is wrong somewhere, we can go back in, which is what society or the mundane path is trying to do, see what's wrong and fix that, tweak it or change it. But then you have all kinds of, just like in this example and other examples of, I take so many medications and they're getting in the way of each other. So I have different kinds of outcomes that are not intended. Yes, sir.
In the meditation instruction this morning, you said it's an awareness practice, not a thinking practice. But it seems like they're involved, some kind of thinking is involved in intention.
Totally. And,
so do we need to study to clarify our intention?
Yes, that's why we study so much. We study the Sanghas I've been before, you'll study near as much as we do, and not just what I've said. The Sanghas I was in were studying what the teacher was saying. And we do that a little bit here, but basically it's what was said in the Diamond Sutra, what was said in the Heart Sutra, what was said in the Sangyina Marchana Sutra, what was said on these sutras and all the works of Dogen, the works of Vasubandhu, and who else are we studying? You can name a few. And some people have asked me, well, I'm interested in this. Can I study this? Of course, go ahead. Study that on your own. I prefer that you study one of the 50 or so books that I recommend. You don't have to. If there's a book that you're magnetized by or there's a teaching, talk about it. We can study that also. So yes, thinking is, I'm not trying to get rid of thinking. It's, if you were to talk about it, the way I, what appears here is that it looks like just we're just using the awareness to try to lead with the awareness of the receiving part of the consciousness, which is the first five senses are telling you of what you should be doing. And so this is why it's so important, if you're having difficulty in the mind, not to try to shut down the mind, but include the other senses, because they aren't particularly thinking, nor are they separate from thinking. Sense of sight, sense of smell, sense of taste, receive, receive, receive. Sense of thinking, receive whatever rises in the mind stream, receive it. Don't go into what it's pointing to, just the thought itself. And when we study someone like Dogen Vasubandhu, even in translation, these are still, they're so incredibly powerful to help us work with our mind stream. And just, if you haven't been studying along with our Sangha, you might want to try it. Study with others, not just reading on your own, meditating over here, and studying over here. The Pratyeka Buddha is a self-styled Buddha, someone who's attaining enlightenment on their own. Very, very suspicious. But it won't be suspicious to you if you're doing it. If you're doing it, this is why you need a teacher. So the teacher can literally kick your ass with your permission. It's not that you can't attain enlightenment by yourself. Probably can. But that's limited. And it only lasts for however long his body lasts. When that body goes, then you can go back into the colander. Yes, sir.
Pasha, I'm bowing. What does effort towards an intention that is not maintenance look like?
Just returning. Just watch it fall apart. Awareness. Watch the whole intention fall apart. It's like you're losing your inspiration to even practice. Don't fill that up with anything. Unless your particular practice, I will say level, even if it's not a level, is that you've been through this, you've been through that, you've worked with this, you've worked with that. And this is not a requirement, but you've done 3 or 4 solitary retreats where you spend a lot of time by yourself just watching your own mind stream come and go, without stopping, without fluffing up, and without shutting down. Then you're in a situation where it doesn't matter what happens. You're getting closer and closer to that understanding where there's no point of reference. And all of the people that you thought were out there in front of you or in your mind. And is there a mind? No. But more.
Pashan Bowing, I just find myself thinking that's a slippery slope of ego.
It really is. You slip right uphill. That slippery. Slip right up into the light. Is that romantic? Yeah, a little bit. Sorry. You put one hand up there. It looks like you have a
How Shan Bowing, effort is often mentioned, like in the four reminders. It's towards. I'm still grasping with what is effort without a standard.
You may have a standard. You may have one. It's the attachment to the standard. So the standard becomes so strong, you can't even see the environment in which that arises. Everything else is being blocked out, so you can just bite down on that standard. And what is that doing? Protecting that which is unreal, ego. Protecting it. You do not need to accomplish anything. Who you are, what this is already the case. Just stop covering it up. And that's a life's work, you really. Maybe many life's work. So return to the cushion, return to the teacher, the teaching, the community, and however that's showing up for you, you'll know what to do next. Further questions?
Pashan Bowing, is there something that happens to make that non-paradoxical?
Yes. The only way you can have a paradox is if you have two different things. When you agree, you don't have to be what are the kind of physicists they call them? Quantum? Yeah. Quantum just means stuff. So if there's no stuff, if everything is empty of how it appears and full of what it actually is, there isn't anything separate. You have to realize it. Because if this is means that this is here and that's over there and you're over there and this is my voice and those are your ears, if you believe that that's a foundation, a real foundation, then you're trapped by it. And you can go around lifetime after lifetime believing your thoughts, believing your emotions. It's not that they don't hurt, and it's not that they don't feel good, and it's not that the thinking process is incredibly sticky to take us into the apparent and misunderstood idea that we're somehow safe. We're not safe. Ego is not safe. It's threatened. This is where we come to look at that.
Pao Xiang Bao said, then does returning to the intention become the intention, Bao?
What do you think?
Well, who should know?
That's Mandarin, what you just said. You have any? No? What was your question?
Pao Xiang Baoing, does returning to the intention become the intention?
Yes.
Bao. Thank you.
Welcome. That's it. In other words, go away.
I don't want to ask questions anymore.
Huh? What was that?
I don't want to ask a question where I can get in trouble.
Yes, both in trouble. You're in trouble, I'm in trouble. Yes.
Kelsey Bowing.
Kelsey.
As our teacher, can you see when we are wasting our life?
If I use that teaching, and I use someone who has agreed to be a student of mine or asked me to function as their teacher, I can see some of that. But just seeing that is not giving me permission to step into your life and say, you need to move to Vermont or maybe you need to go into a solitary retreat right now. That being said, it doesn't give me permission, but that kind of thing could show up in the interaction, or I would say to you, or possibly to say to somebody. It's very odd, but I can think of this one person, Senshu. She's someone years ago that I told to move here. But in my first interview I had with her, I talked to her. She was I don't remember what the dynamic was, but it was just like that. Listening to her, she's not here, right? Is she watching? I want to say something very private about her. Let's see her. Senshu, there she is. Senshu, I'm about to say something. You might want to plug your ears. No, I can see that the Senshu's style, if you know her, and she won't mind me talking a little bit about her, but if you know her, she's very... her consciousness rotates, and whatever shows up, she's with that. I've watched her do it for years, but at the same time, she doesn't realize, she's realized her true nature. It's just that she's open to that. The sense of openness is very, very powerful with her, and it's true of other people too. But this with her, and it's like my feeling. I knew that she wouldn't necessarily do what I said to do. I thought the only way I can really help her is if I see her a lot and I'm there when she starts to go this way or go that way or go that way. But without her permission, if she goes away, then I can't. And so I said, move to the monastery. So I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to Washington and this and this and this. And I said, well, if you can, I'm just saying the best thing for you to do, the way it looks to me, just talking to you for 2 minutes, is you need to live in a monastery. And I know where there is. That was in Grand Rapids. It was about a year later. She was in touch a little bit in the interim and then said she wanted to move down here, and she did. And so that doesn't mean that I don't think that everybody should move here. They should. Everybody who's listening to me should move here immediately. But I'm not going to tell you that. But because I don't know what it's like to be you, and I don't know what you're dealing with. So if you say, well, I can't do that, I have to stay here, or I respect that, because you know more about your karma than I do. And if you're also practicing sitting meditation, you're probably doing the best you can with what's arising. So it's very, very different with each person. More.
Kelsey Bowing, do you ever tell us to do something that you don't think we should do?
I think so. You got an example there?
No.
Is there something I've told you to do that I really don't think you should do?
No.
And it's different with each person. There's no standard. I don't have a standard where, well, I'm a teacher, so like sometimes in the Tibetan tradition, quite often, this is in past centuries where it probably needed to be this way, primitive medieval cultures, where whatever the teacher says, that I will do. I don't think that's workable for our situation. I think that each person's intelligence needs to be respected, and we don't need to have a bunch of followers. I don't want anybody following me somewhere, some kind of guru worship or something. That doesn't mean that you don't listen to the teacher and give the teacher what the teacher's saying the benefit of the doubt. Say, check it out yourself so you can see, rather than just believe stuff. More?
Oh, Kelsey Bowing. How do we know if something is fundamentally helpful or if it's just a story cover-up?
One of the ways you can do that is don't do anything. Wait. Sometimes call patience. Just wait. And if you're practicing and if your awareness practice is strong, then there's a good possibility, there's no guarantee, but there's a good possibility that the way that things are looking, they keep kind of tempting you to go this way or tempting you to go that way or make a choice, make a decision. You can't wait for you to hear other people say you have to decide something. I hear that kind of lecture from people sometimes. Don't do anything unless you have to. If you actually function that way, and along with a strong awareness practice, and with the support of the teacher, and not only that, the support of the Sangha, probably going to be okay. You might not do much, but what you do actually do is going to come out of your awareness about it rather than your beliefs, your opinions, the structures and consciousness that protect the ego. So you will be able to actually act out of, and you will not get a credential for that necessarily. Feel like you're doing the right thing. You might feel even more threatened by doing that. More about that if you have. It's a good area to ask about. Okay, thank you. Good question.
Sir. Brian Bowen. You mentioned in sometimes decisions won't feel like doing the right thing. Is chasing sense desires a waste of life if the intention is to save all beings?
No. Always about awareness. And what shows in your karma or Gabe's or Kelsey's or anyone else's karma, some of that may need to be just received, even though it feels like I shouldn't be doing this. Right? But it's a very powerful area. So as much time as you can spend on the cushion and just receiving, you're practicing receiving your life by just receiving that area of the consciousness we call mind. Not just fingertips and not just sense of taste, sense of touch, sense of hearing, and all of the other sense fields that are unreceived. You're actually practicing, retraining your mind to just receive your life. Don't miss your life. So whatever shows up, don't disagree with the shape of your ears. Don't disagree or agree with the shape of thoughts and emotions and structures and stories that come up. Just receive them, even though the story, as it appears and as you listen to it, or think about it, however you want to describe that, seems inaccurate or inappropriate. You want to cover it up or correct it. Don't do it. Receive it as it is. As it is. This is the name of the evening meditation. As it is. Simple statement. It's been used a lot longer than before we all came here. As it is.
Mm-hmm. Bowing, a question on YouTube from Cathal.
Who?
C-A-T-H-A-L, and it looks like a male picture. Cathal, I think, or Cathal. Cathal bowing. Where does the altruistic intentions play a role in one's path?
It's the vow to save all beings. It's a structure. It's been around for forever. The be with all things, save all beings. You can personalize it with save all beings. Put others before yourself. This doesn't mean believe them or follow their orders. It means see what is happening there as clearly as possible. And that may be to leave that person or call the police on that person. Any number of things could arise, but it needs to come out if you're along the lines of the vow that is being questioned, Cathal is asking about. It needs to come out of the awareness, and the awareness can show up as a temporarily, as a right or wrong, or should do or shouldn't do situation. But it won't be coming out of the fear-based ego mind. It'll be coming out of actually what you're seeing there, and it probably is actually including the structure that's happening with that other person's consciousness in terms of what they're saying, but you're actually hearing not what they're saying or what they want you to hear, but you see what's behind that because your awareness is being trained over time to look at what occurs, not what you think about what occurs, to look at who shows up, not what you think about who shows up, to look at what someone is saying, not what you think about what they're saying. You actually hear what they're saying. If you hear what somebody is saying, I want to shout this. You won't know what they're saying. Consciousness only. You can do this. You can operate out of that. It is like nobody's home anymore. But if it's necessary for somebody to open the door, it's immediate. The door opens. If it's necessary to close that door, it comes out of consciousness only. It doesn't come out of a person who's afraid or a person who's trying to live up to some kind of a vow. It doesn't come out of something. It is that. It's the fancy word for that is transcendence. And yet nothing has occurred. If something occurs, we're right back to relative truth. That's why it is said by some teachers, His Holiness the 16th Karmapa in 1981, just before he died, said nothing happens. And that is an ultimate point of the nature of the mind.
You know, Kabbalah, when you just said there's something behind what's being said, what is that? What's behind that we're looking, or that someone who sees what's going on will see?
What? What do you want to know?
You know, Kabbalah, earlier you were talking
yeah,
about...
Yeah, I know about that. What do you want to know?
What's behind the muck and the bloodsuckers and grime that's arising?
Very good. What's behind it? There's nothing behind it. But the relative idea is that is covering up the ultimate truth of your true nature, Buddha nature, enlightened nature. Totally awake. Nothing sleeps. But when you realize it, when it's actually realized, then you see that the actual cover-up was awakening. That everything is awake. There isn't anything that isn't completely awake everywhere. If you see it, the work is done. And your sense of humor returns. This doesn't mean you're joking about everything. Like I do.
What? Look at mine. Do you joke about everything? Do you joke about everything?
Yes, you do joke about everything. I see you smiling a lot. That.
Look at mine. Is smiling a joke?
If you do it.
You know, Kabbalah, what should I do?
Don't do much. Sit a lot. How much do you sit? Sit more than that. Yes, sir.
Kabbalah, is absolute truth path?
It could look that way, but no, there's no path left. Absolute is true. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going anywhere. Anything is still moving around or waving its arm is unreal. It's an illusion. The teacher, the teaching in the community illusion, but it's necessary to have it. There needs to be something there for us to move in that direction. It's just that the direction that that's going to, from the ego's point of view, looks like a bottomless pit, or just when one starts to go into realization, it's like you're starting to fall. You're losing your reference points. But it has been said traditionally, and I can say that also, you never hit bottom. There isn't anything else. There's nothing but the falling. But the falling is still an illusion that is presented by the self-centered part of the mind, the seventh consciousness, ego. More.
Bondo bowing, how do we waste time on the cushion?
So, probably lots of ways, but you might have to waste a lot of time in order to actually train your mind. You might have to sit there and just daydream and daydream and daydream. You might have to fall asleep, but it's the awareness. This is why I teach it this way. Comes out of not so much what I was taught, but I was taught ways to not fall asleep on the cushion. And it worked a little bit to keep you awake, but it's a detour. Don't do it. You sit down, hold still. Whatever happens, including falling asleep, whatever happens, including daydreaming about something, or just the only thing you're supposed to do here, from the way I teach this, based on what I've been doing for a long time, is hold still. Just hold still. This is not separate from mind. This is mine. Mine. This is mine. The thoughts up right now that are arising is outside this building right along here, there's about 15 or 20 rocks, and they have kind of a pink hue to them. And on the top of those rocks is a lizard about a foot long running over the top of them. Is that happening? It is. Now remember that, what I just said. And now remember the last time you were sitting meditation, endeavoring to hold still. There's no difference between those. If you think there is, you'll continue to spin and look for results and continue to spin and try to avoid failure. Yes, sir.
Like, Bong, is there any non-wasting of time on the cushion in regards to how she framed her question?
How do you frame your questions?
How do we waste time on the cushion?
Is it in the ears? Is there?
What would it look like to not waste time on the cushion?
You wouldn't know what you're doing. There would be no person there. You're just sitting. There's just the body. It's just sitting. It's when the mind and the body are understood in consciousness. It's not. There's no one understanding this. To be not two different things. So therefore, you're just sitting still. There's no activity in the mind particularly. You haven't stopped thinking, even though it says some places put like it does in the Sadhana Mahamudra, puts a stop to thoughts. That's not what's happening. That's just a way of talking about it. So you can see you really need to look at the way you can't stop thoughts. But if you don't do anything with thoughts, they stop.
Like, a bong, is that still path?
Probably. It could be different with different meditators. Yes.
When you're bowing, I think sometimes when you've talked about your root guru, Chogyam Trungpa, that your mind stopped. That seemed to be what others reported as well. What is that?
No. It could have been just fear. Other people would say similar things. When you're around him, you can't think. Or you don't think, and it's in the space that is there left by the fact that you're not thinking anymore is scary. That's how my experience of it is, like that meeting.
Would that be similar to the old monk who was approached by a student who was full of anger, and the teacher said, "Show me your anger." And he said, "Well, it's not here now." Is that a similar? It's like that.
Yeah, he says, "Show me your anger." He says, "Well, I'm not angry now. It's just there. It took your anger away." Something like that. It's similar. Not the same, but similar. Nothing's happening. the ego mind doesn't like that open space, because then the ego, then the consciousness, along with the ego, is starting to see that it's insubstantial, and that's frightening. It feels like you're coming apart. You're going to dissolve into. It's like a death, been called death of ego, but it doesn't die. It's unreal. So that's the death. See that it's unreal. So the ego still may show up and chatter in your ear now and then. You don't mind. You have a sense of humor about that. You have a sense of humor about how full of yourself you are. It does not go away. If you think it'll go away, then it can get riled up in different ways and come back charging out of the cave of demons and make a mess of your living room. That needs to be seen. If it's seen, it's difficult because we don't want to be a crazy person. We don't like that. Michael?
Some cheap.
Oh, yes. Change your name. So let's see. That's compassionate mountain. Mountain of compassion. And how do you say that again?
Sunji.
Is that right?
Sunji.
Is that right? Yep. Okay, Sunji. Go for it.
When a waste of time believing that you have to achieve something.
A little bit of that, but you don't have to get rid of that. You just have to notice that you have that going. You don't necessarily have to scuttle it. I mean, you can just be aware that you have an agenda going on there. And if you're aware of that, then you also won't necessarily be magnetized into that. Gives you some space around it. You can say that things arise that are feel like an accomplishment. You may want accomplishments that quite often happens with meditators is they find themselves listening to people more. But it doesn't feel too much like a credential. It's like they just can't help it. They just really listen more. And the other thing will show up is a person that you conventionally was having difficulty with because they were giving you trouble or their communication situation was rubbing you the opposite direction, that your fur grows and didn't feel so good. And then you kind of see the pain that they're endeavoring to cover up or ignore or get rid of, and a lot of that's coming out by dumping that on you. And so then that's when not exactly compassion, but kind of a consideration that people are suffering and that's why they act crazy and act mean and so on. So you're giving things a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. It's still path. It's not fruition. Fruition, all of that has no substance at all. Further questions? Yes,
Yoka Bowing. Adriana asks on YouTube, Adriana Bowing, is the idea of no demand the same thing as just precisely this?
The idea of what?
No demand the same as just precisely this.
I think can't say that it's exactly the same thing, but those concepts are in the same area, yes. And that you don't need anything, you're not demanding anything. But just precisely this might be more accurate than the no demand, because the no demand is saying you want something. So that's a little bit outside of just precisely this. But the no demand is that you want it, but you're not going to demand it. And what eventually will happen is you will want things, want this and not want that, but there'll be no individual anymore. There's no personhood anymore. There's just the desire. And if there's just the desire, it may arise, but it won't last. It only lasts if you resist it. It only lasts if you agree with it. And it only lasts if you ignore it. Passion, aggression, ignorance, the very nature of this rotating samsara. The biggest example you can find is one of the big ones is the Earth rotating around the sun in circles night and day, night and day, night and day. Consciousness is not doing that unless it's entwined in the belief, the twining vines of a being who's going somewhere, who can succeed or who can fail. The me, 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 I, me and my stuff, my ideas. I'll take one more question. Go ahead, Brian.
Right, Can I have two questions?
No, but you can have two, and then I'll give Jisheen a seeker. Hands are up also. Do you have a question, Jisheen? Okay, well, I'll have Brian's first question, then I'll do yours, and then I'll return to Brian's second question, if you can remember. Okay, go ahead.
Brian Bowen, who is the monk who killed the cat?
Cat killed it. So you mean the cat and the monk of that koan?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cat was the one who did it.
The cat killed the cat.
Cat killed the monk.
Oh.
Looked like a cat. That koan is a deliberate running right into your preconceptions, into your presumptions. We're not saying you should go and tell a cat. It's more powerful. It's so powerful that if there's any tinge of ego there, it will be worried about actually killing something. That's to help you see closely right and wrong and not choose. It's very hard to look at right and wrong and not pick one. You might pick, it's right to do this. Don't kill the cat. It's like when, was it Nansen said that? I can't remember Nansen's. Then you hold the cat up, and if you can say a correct word, then you'll save the cat. But nobody could say that, so he killed the cat. Did he really do that, or is this a story about, did a cat actually get killed? That's like when Trungpa Rinpoche, years ago, I hear the story of him taking a log, I think it was, anybody remember that story? And threw it at a cat. And people actually took that so seriously, whether he did it or not, that they actually stopped being students of his. Did it actually happen? And did the cat actually get killed? It's a story. It's a teaching story, so that you will actually look at your grasping at right and rejection of wrong, or your validation of killing the cat. Like, for instance, saying everything is unreal anyway, so let's just kill the cat, because we're ultimately saving all beings, because it's a teaching. Don't do anything unless you have. I'll get back to you in a minute with your second question. Go ahead, Jisheen.
Jisheen Bowing. What is the ancient vow we took? Bowing.
What is the vow that you received?
No, the ancient vow, it's in one of the prayers about returning to your ancient vow.
Yes.
What is the vow?
If you're on the path of the Buddha's Dharma, which you are, you've received Jukai, then you return to that ancient vow. There's only one vow. And it's just been received by the Buddha. The Buddha didn't even have a preceptor. I guess he did have a couple of teachers, didn't he? Do you know that story? Where he argued with one and the other one was right, but then he thought he should really take the vow with the one that he thought was wrong, because only that would really directly turn into an understanding of the non-dual nature of reality. Remember that one? It's because I just made it up. Everything is made up. Everything is an invention. Even if it's true, still an invention. Understand this. It would be so helpful to all of you on your path as you go along, looking for the light, looking for the fulfillment of the vow to be with all things. Are there any things? Are there beings? Find out. Awareness. Welcome, sir.
Brian Bowen, you already answered two questions.
Very good. I guess we can retreat to the hills.
Hi, I'm Senshu, one of Sokuzan's monks. Sokuzan offers his wisdom tirelessly with complete love and devotion. If you value these teachings, Sokuzan, the mandala of Sokukoji, please consider donating at sokukoji.org. Thank you.